Now, Sean, you've played for the Oilers, you played for the Raiders, you played for Green Bay, so we're talking to a person that can talk, you know, locker room politics.
And you won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you won a Super Bowl as well. Right? No disrespect on the ring from Green Bay, no disrespect. But you can talk about what happens in the locker room. Now, you've been hazed as a player as well. I know you have.
Absolutely. I mean, I came in probably where we had the toughest hazing. When I got in the league, I came in with the Raiders. And so, you know, as a rookie and I was their number one pick, you know, there were certain things that were expected of you. There were certain things that you had to do. In fact, they had the system that money that had to come out to do those things just came right out of your check. It was payroll deducted. It was understood. You didn't have no choice. You know, it just came out and it was handled. You know.
Did the hazing ever feel like harassment to you?
No, you know what? There's a difference. And I think what's going on here in the last couple of days, that blurred the lines between what is commonplace in a lot of sports in terms of rite of passage, in terms of what players go through, you know, to be indoctrinated on their different teams with what happened with Richie Incognito. They're not the same. And don't be confused.
Okay.
What happens in every NFL locker room and more in some places than others, you know, you go through the, you know, the whipped cream in the face, you get tied up to it, the rookies get tied up. When I was with the Oilers, you know, Bruce Matthews and Mike Munchak, and these are some of the guys that are Hall of Famers, head coaches in the league now, made their guys, you know, shave their heads. You know, all the offensive linemen had to shave their heads. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Okay, what Incognito and what he's been known to do, I mean, I was in the front office of the Raiders. I was their director of pro personnel for 4 or 5 years there. And so Incognito came out, and we watched him, and we were looking at him as a player. But you could not ignore his history. He's a walking contradiction. You're talking about a guy that in recent years has gone through the Harvard program. He's done book readings with kids and the like. And then everybody knows that he's a thug and he's a butthole. Okay. And he's just one of those guys that has gotten away with it for so long that he believes that it's okay. He feels that he's entitled to do these things. What's shocking, though, in a locker room is that you don't have the kind of leadership. And normally a guy like Incognito is allowed to get away with those kind of things when you don't have strong leadership. That would not happen in a, let's say, a Baltimore locker room with a Ray Lewis. It just wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. Because even if it crossed over the line, you know, another leader would have said, hey, you know, cut this out or whatever. You know, and what Incognito got away with because you had a very immature locker room there in Miami, and he was able to just, you know, run rampant through that locker room.
He was one of the team leaders. They elected him as one of the team captains.
Well, that goes to show you, when you have no leadership, you know, what they say, power corrupts absolutely, and absolute power corrupts, you know. And so what happens with him is that because people look at him, because don't get me wrong, as a football player, he's a tough SOB. I mean, he's a tough kid. He plays beyond the echo of the whistle. I mean, he's dirty. You know, he's everything that you want in an offensive lineman, you know, and from that perspective in terms of getting things done in the field. But sometimes what these guys do is that the persona they have on the field carries over. You know, when you hear and you read those ridiculous texts that he's sending to the guy, he's definitely trying to intimidate him. You know, it's no different than, you know, back in the day when Romanowski spits in a player's face or, you know, things like that go on the football field. I've been on the football field, and when I played against the offensive lineman called me the N-word. You know, when you are allowed to do those things and no one says anything to you about it, and you almost feel entitled. You feel like, okay, well, I can do it. But let me tell you something about that, though. You get away with it with people you can get away with it. It ain't happening with just anybody. You know what I'm saying? There are a bunch of guys that Kagi would try that with, and he's picking on people that he knows he can pick on.
Exactly.
He wouldn't pick on guys he couldn't get away with it, because he'd get a bloody mouth and get the water slapped out of his mouth. So, so trust me, he's definitely, it's definitely calculating to who he picks on.
Hey, we're talking to a former NFL star, Sean Jones. He's talking about, and we're all talking about, the Incognito and the racy remarks that he made that got him on suspension right now from the Miami Dolphins. Let me ask you this. How should that kid have responded? How should Martin respond? Do you think he did the right thing by not coming on the field, by letting other folks know what was going on? Did he do the right thing?
You know, well, he's an interesting kid himself. He's a very scholarly kid. If you check his background, parents are very, you know, very interesting person, to be honest with you. Harvard Westlake is one of the top high schools in the country. I'm talking about 1, 2, and 3, you know. And coincidentally, that's the same school that the young man that came out as gay a few months back. He went to Harvard Westlake also. Also Stanford grad. His parents in history have one of the few oldest African Americans to graduate from Harvard. Mm-hmm. So it tells you the mindset. You know, their mindset is probably they're more down with Gandhi than down with Michael, than down with Malcolm. And so their mindset is that, you know, we're going to try to reason this out the whole time. Like I said, if he was a different kind of kid, if he was like Steve Smith, they're both from L.A., right? But if he was from Steve Smith neighborhood, it wouldn't have been handled that way. Trust me. So I think a lot of it is how you socialize, how you, you know, and I'm not saying which one's right or wrong. Don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm just saying that if you're socialized a certain way to handle problems a certain way and you're intellectual in your approach may be I'm going to write a letter, you know, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to handle this with a bat. And so that was just his approach. It's not a rookie. This is his second year in the league.
Yes.
So this has been going on for 2 years and it got to the point where he left the team. People aren't remembering he left the team last year for some reason. No one knew what it was.
Okay.
Which is an indictment on Miami because you have one of your top players, top draft picks, leading the team, and you don't find out what the devil's going on with him, why he left. They bring him back to the team. Then he has to leave again, and it finally comes out. So there are a lot of underlying things that are going on, which tells you that some of this thing is systemic from a organizational perspective, you know, not just from Cognito. Cognito was allowed to grow and fester because the soil was fertile. It was allowed to happen.
Sean, last question. If Incognito would have did that to you, your response would have been?
Bro, no. Like the dude, God rest his soul, this guy is dead now, but it happened on the field, and his wife will tell you what happened at the bus after the game. Because some things aren't allowed to happen. I told him in the game, I will beat you and your family after the game. So let's go meet.
Okay.
And so we met at the game at the bus, and he was shocked that I was at his bus, but it was going to go down. But football is football. We understand tough guys. I get all that. But some things stay on the field, and then some things are societal. And you are not allowed to take your persona on the field and bring it into society and try to treat me differently and try to demean me and emasculate me because you have your own issues. It's just not going to be allowed.
Former Green Bay Packer, Oiler, Raider.
Super Bowl winner.
Super Bowl winner Sean Jones, thank you so much for the time, bro.
All right, bro.